Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Dr. Alan Zeeker, who is both medical director at the Albany Regional Eye Surgery Center and president of Ophthalmic Consultants of the Capital Region. He specializes in LASIK and PRK refractive surgeries, cataract surgery, diabetic eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Dr. Zeeker studied in the United States, in Italy, and Mexico. He traveled to Ecuador in 2009 to work at his own expense as a volunteer surgeon for the humanitarian effort Surgical Eye Expeditions International. Do you have a question about your eyes for the doctor? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Well, something extraordinary is happening, folks. We already have four people on the phone out of the five. So there's five. That makes it five. You can also post comments on the bottom of today's show page on Vox Pop section at our website, or just email us at voxpop at wamc.org. Welcome, Alan Zeeker.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Alan.
How come you spell your name incorrectly?
Well, it depends on where you're coming from.
A-L-L-E-N. That's not the right way.
Gee, I thought you had it wrong.
Well, the phones are all ringing, Alan. If you don't mind, let's start to take some calls. Okay. We'll go to Jim in Matamoros. Welcome back, Jim. What do you got?
What are some of the nutritional or toxic causes of blindness?
Well, Jim, there's a lot of reasons for blindness. Worldwide, cataract is responsible for 50% of the world's blindness. In this country, cataract is less of a cause because access to cataract surgery is quite reasonable and easy. Macular degeneration can cause some blindness. Glaucoma can cause some blindness. Most of these things are preventable or at least treatable. To this day, macular degeneration remains one of the more difficult ones to fix. We have more medicines now available that we didn't even have 10 years ago, so we can do a lot more for the wet kind of macular degeneration. So we're always on the hunt in the study of ophthalmology to try to make it better, and we're making progress.
Okay, thank you, Jim. I have a very good friend, Alan, who has a problem with the, what do you call that thing that reaches from the eye to the brain? What
is the optic nerve?
The optic, yes, that's the one, the optic nerve. Mm-hmm. Those are tricky, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the optic nerve can have an inflammation. It can have damage from injury. It can have damage from glaucoma. There's a lot of things that can affect the optic nerve.
We'll go to Michelle in East Hampton. Michelle, you're on.
Hi, yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 61 years old, and I'm having cataract surgery, and I have an astigmatism. And they actually had to do an ultrasound on my eyes as well for the measurements. They're suggesting that I have a certain type of lens that's going to cost me an extra $2,500 or $1,250 per eye.
We were just talking about this, which is why I'm laughing. It's actually something that Dr. Zeeker thinks is a good idea, isn't it, Doctor?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that premium lenses are available to fix problems that we could not fix before is very important. So obviously, I don't know anything about your specifics, Michelle, but when we talk about cataract surgery for astigmatism, if you have enough astigmatism, cataract surgery with a special implant or astigmatism surgery itself can alleviate a lot of your astigmatism. So it can be a very, very good thing depending upon the amount you have and whether or not the astigmatism lenses are going to correct that. So,
yes, but I think Michelle is very interested in the cost, number one, and Medicare and others don't pay for that, right? Is that right?
Correct.
Yes. And also, what it gets you. What does it get you when you have the super-duper kind?
Well, anytime we do cataract surgery, the surgery itself and the implant that we put in does the gross focusing. I use the analogy of an old TV where you have the gross focusing knob and you also have the small fine-tuning knob. The implant does the gross focusing, and glasses can be used for fine-tuning, and unless you have a special lens, you're going to need it for reading as well. So the Astigmatism is meant to decrease your astigmatism to the point where your naked eye vision will be decent for distance, but that doesn't mean there wouldn't be still a small prescription for fine-tuning.
Yeah, as I have. Thank you very much, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Can I ask one other quick question?
Yes, okay.
Okay, I was thinking with cataract surgery I would be able to see better, and yes, I know that, but what they're suggesting is that I get the surgery that's more for distance, which means I'll give up being able to see, to read at night, bedside, or do embroidery work, et cetera, without my glasses. That bothers me more than I've worn glasses for 41 years than for distance. So I'm now mixed about, do I do the surgery to have better distance?
Oh, that's a very important question, Michelle. You need to really have clear in your mind. You don't want to change. You don't want to make the doctors happy. You want to make you happy. If you're going to be happy reading without glasses for a significant portion of the day, knowing you wear glasses for distance, you go for it, okay? Don't make somebody make you lose your nearsightedness if you're happy. That's a discussion we have in our office. It sometimes takes 15, 20 minutes to figure out whether the patient is better off staying nearsighted with the cataract gone versus having good distance vision with the cataract gone, and then they can't read without glasses. So you really need to assess that before you jump in and have the cataract surgery.
And I want to warn you about one thing, Michelle. When I did it, and I had it in both eyes, one of the doctor's assistants asked me where I hold the book when I read. Well, of course, most of us don't really think about where we hold the book. So you gotta sort of know that going into that office, because otherwise it's tough. Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. Okay, let's go to Dave in Woodstock. All right, Dave, you're on.
Good afternoon, doctors.
Yep, go.
Yeah, I have a slow-growing cataract in one eye, and I'm wondering, I use the clear safety glasses religiously when outdoors. How cloudy does it have to be before I can take them off?
Well, even when it's cloudy, you can still have sun issues, but you can get a sunburn when there's clouds.
Wait. Many of us don't understand. I'm sure both of you understand the question, but I don't understand the question. What are the clear safety glasses?
Well, a clear safety glass, I was going to get into that also. A clear safety glass, unless it is made of a certain protective plastic, which does block ultraviolet rays, the clear ones don't always protect against ultraviolet. Ultraviolet is the source for a lot of cataract and, even more important, the source for some macular degeneration damage. So wearing protective lenses, I would worry more about protecting against macular degeneration with the ultraviolet. To be honest, the ultraviolet is not going to make a huge change in your cataracts. There are so many factors that go into cataracts. Ultraviolet is one small factor.
Why do we get cataracts? One second. Why do we get cataracts?
Family history is probably one of the more stringent things. Yeah. I think personally that knowing that I'm doing cataract surgery on children of patients I did parents, 20 senior, because the ozone layer has been destroyed over the years. Our diet is totally different than our parents' diet. Medications are available. Look at the PDR versus there was not even penicillin much before World War II. Yeah. So there's all these different things contribute to it.
Okay, Dave, go.
I was under the impression that all eyewear is mandated at UVA and B now.
To be honest, some people will still request glass lenses. There is a risk to that in terms of fracture. And I don't really know if all the plastics, I believe most of them are, but I wouldn't want to say not knowing that they are 100%.
That's always a safe way to go on this program. Thank you, Dave.
15-second.
Yeah, go.
Comment on health?
Just general health?
Yes, Lyme disease. Chickens and guinea fowl could alleviate Lyme disease by eating ticks. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay is the right answer for that. Okay, let's go to Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy in Schenectady, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hey. Good afternoon.
I have macular degeneration, the dry form, and I've been told that it's not curable, and that... So they've referred me to the New York Association for the Blind in Albany, and just for, you know, help with different kinds of things you can use to help with reading and so forth. However, a couple of my friends have said that, well, there's this place in Philadelphia, there's this place in Houston, there's places. Why don't you go to one of these? And I'm wondering if, you know, if it's just because of locally things aren't available, or if it would be true no matter where I went.
Okay, but Nancy, the specific question is, what's the question?
The question is, should I be pursuing other places to go other than in the immediate locality in order to find out if anything can be done for the macular degeneration?
Gotcha. Good question.
Okay. The dry macular type of degeneration is the more difficult to treat because we really don't have a lot of room to play with that type of a retina when it has that damage. I would always encourage anybody to get a second opinion, but if the second opinion concurs with the first opinion, then you're probably just not going to get a better response by going certain places. There are some studies in different places, different cities, but there's not a fantastic treatment yet for macular degeneration, the dry kind. They're working on it. So I would say get a second opinion.
If the second opinion agrees. Yeah, I've had two already.
Okay. Yeah. It is difficult. Now, obviously, Northeast Association for Blind can really help you a lot with magnification and different things.
Okay. Dottie, Nancy, I'm so sorry. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Now, let's see. We'll go to Dottie in Highland. Dottie, you're on.
Thank you. I'm 84 years old, very active, preparing for cataract surgery. My question is the opposite from the first woman. I have always been farsighted, needed glasses for close work, reading, knitting, all that kind of stuff. My life currently is fully engaged in really close-up work, making miniatures and making jewelry. And I would like to end up with really, really clear, detailed, close vision with no glasses for the close work. I don't mind wearing glasses for the rest of my life, driving, skiing, bike riding, that kind of stuff. So I'm curious as to what the advantages and pros and cons of switching my vision that way are. And I'm also curious as to what the range in feet distance is for the nearsightedness and what the recovery time will be from cataract surgery.
Okay, now, Dottie, we have a little problem. You stay on the phone. We have to have just a couple of underwriting announcements, and we'll be right back. You stay there. We'll be right back with you, okay?
Got it.
Support comes from Ellis Medicine, providing comprehensive cardiac, neurology, oncology, and emergency care services, reinventing healthcare one patient at a time. EllisMedicine.org. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements. Noble-home.net. Poughkeepsie Farm Project, hosting the Summer Institute for Educators, using school gardens to teach, August 18th through 21st. farmproject.org for registration. And from Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute Museum, Utica, New York, presenting Monet to Matisse, The Age of French Impressionism, original works by Monet, Degas, Renoir, Cézanne, Matisse, and more, mwpai.org.
Okay, we're back. And Dottie, you're still on the phone, right, I hope? Dottie? Uh-oh. Dottie, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good, good, good. Okay, so your question is, you thought the reverse of the other call, but it sounds like it's almost the same thing as the other caller wanted to know. You want to see up close, and you don't particularly care if you have, faraway vision. Doctor, you want to answer that one?
Sure. Dottie, I'm glad you called, because when you have farsightedness and you get cataract surgery, you're going to win by seeing better in the distance without glasses, and that's what I would recommend. Not ever having lived your life with nearsightedness, as a lot of us have, you're really not able to judge what's it like to walk around like that. So I would say definitely have the cataract surgery and aim for good distance vision. That way you wake up in the morning, you walk around, maybe drive a car, watch TV, all without glasses, and then you put some magnifiers on to do your close work. That way you can focus better for close work, but you're not locked into that every moment of every day, which you've never really experienced as others have, and I wouldn't recommend that for you.
Dottie.
My problem with that is I'm currently doing this work for 6 to 8 hours a day. I've been doing it for years, but with glasses and magnifying lenses, and I would like to be able to continue doing it with clear, close vision. That's more important to me at 84 than
I understand. And your vision will be clearer once you have the cataracts out, okay? And the power of the lenses and the magnifiers will be decreased because all of your farsighted prescription will be put into your implant, and that'll decrease whatever portion of your recurrent correction is being used for that. So you'll be better with all that. But I wouldn't want to make somebody, the last thing, I would never do that to somebody in my practice. If I did that, the only way I would consider doing that is to make them wear contact lenses for like a couple of months, and so they understood what nearsightedness was. Live that life for a month or two, and then you say, I want it, we'd go there. But that's very, very unlikely. It's never happened in 30 years.
Okay. Thank you, Dottie.
Okay. Thank you. One more question. Recovery time from cataract surgery. How much time before you can do things like drive and bike ride and stuff?
Well, I feel quite good right after cataract surgery, but I assume you mean you, the patient. Actually, probably you can drive a car usually 24, 36 hours later, okay?
What about bike riding?
Is it a two-wheel bike or a three-wheel bike?
Two.
A two-wheel bike. Yeah, if it's a calm area where it's not a lot of traffic, not a lot of potholes, you could probably do it a few days later. I'd want to make sure that both your eyes are working well. With your farsightedness, don't forget, your naked eye is going to see better after surgery, and your newly operated eye will not see well through your old lens.
And
the two eyes might not work together.
So let's remember, they do it one eye at a time, okay?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. We're going to Caroline in Poughkeepsie. Carolyn in Poughkeepsie, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
My question has to do with the increased use of antidepressants and psychotropics since the 80s. My optometrist showed that I had the beginning of cataracts, and I had taken some antidepressants, but never for very long, but accidentally found out that Seroquel causes cataracts in lab studies, and so I took myself off the Seroquel. It was a temporary usage for sleep, and put myself on the maximum amount of beta-carotene I could take, and went back a year and a half later, and he said nothing had increased or gotten worse, which could have been either one or both things that helped. So I wanted to know what your experience was, and you already alluded to that and said something about the increased use of medications possibly affecting the increase, one of the causes, increase in cataracts.
Right. There's so many medications out there now that they can have an effect. Not all of them do, and in fact, the vast majority don't. A few years back, they came out with the statins for cholesterol, and I found it amusing that they said, gee, these can cause cataracts. And I said, why? Don't worry about it, because if statins prevent you from having a heart attack or a stroke, who cares if your cataract surgery is 5 years early?
That's right.
So the same thing with all your other stuff. If you need these things to live your life the best, to the maximum you could live, take the medicines. If your cataract surgery gets done 5 years early, 3 years early, who cares? Cataract surgery is of a quality nowadays that doesn't interfere, whereas all the other stuff, the years you might be going without medication that would help you, would be crazy to go that time without the medication when you could actually get some benefit from it. So I wouldn't hesitate.
Did you say that the cataract surgery, you can have your choice of whether you want to have near vision or far vision? For example, I was always nearsighted, but my distance vision has improved incredibly, and I was never one to wear my glasses very much, and the doctor told me I probably strengthened my eyes by doing that.
To a certain extent. If you're nearsighted, you actually have a choice between staying nearsighted or going farsighted, which means good distance vision without glasses. As I mentioned to the last caller, I would not recommend going from farsighted to nearsighted, switching all the way over to the other end of the scale, because she has no experience with that.
But if you were already nearsighted and you're in your 50s and your vision has changed, so your distance vision is almost not needing glasses now, but now you've got to wear glasses for some of the extra tiny print that they're doing nowadays.
Right. Well, that's one of the things we talk about today, is the fact that you have premium lenses out there. We alluded to that also before. The premium lenses allow you to see far and near, so you don't really have to choose everything. You have accommodative lenses. You have multifocal lenses.
Right.
And that allows people to see not just far away, but near also. Now, insurance doesn't pay for those extra lenses, but it is a boon. And these things have been around and approved by the FDA for over a decade. They work very, very well.
Is it risky to use the eyeglasses that you can buy in the store to magnify things as opposed to getting a prescription from your optometrist for that?
Not typically for the basic little bit of magnification. I mean, if you just say you turn 40, 42, and all of a sudden you're holding things farther away, and then you need some magnification, that's fine. You also said that you used to be nearsighted, and now you're having trouble with small print. I mean, both eyes might not be exactly the same, but if you go with the 125 or a 150, 175, and that seems to do the trick, you're not going to do harm. You might have some daily eye strain, but there's no permanent damage from the way the eyes deal with the bent light rays, refracted light rays.
Okay, Carolyn, I'll let you go.
Thank you for your time. And if you'll give your name and how you can be reached and where you are again at some point, that would be helpful.
Go, doctor. Go ahead, sure.
Okay. Sure, it's Alan Zieker, Z-I-E-K-E-R, 518-274-3123 is one of our office numbers. We have five offices in the Capital District.
Okay, thank you
very much. Okay.
Bye.
And we'll go to Joe in Woodstock. Joe, you're on.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm 78. I've had a gradually developing cataract, and 10 years ago, the surgeon I was consulting, the ophthalmological surgeon, said that there is a flexible lens available that the focusing muscles of the eye will accommodate. And it was at that time prototypical, and she didn't recommend anything. The cataracts have gotten much worse now. I do have astigmatism. I have excellent macula. I've just been examined for all that. And I'm curious to know about what I believe is called crystal lens. And you were recommended to me by her.
Okay. Yeah, the crystal lens is one of the lenses we were talking about. That will move somewhat in your eye with the focusing muscles and allow somebody to see distance. And its forte is at the computer distance and not so much for reading small print up close. So if you have a perfect macula, and even if you have some astigmatism, depending on how much, you can sometimes have a multifocal. So anytime
we... Focal implant or...
Yeah, multifocal implant. That's where you have different foci, so you can actually see distance and read very, very well. 80% of the people I've done are 100% eyeglass free, and the other 20% need glasses maybe 20% of the time. So the multifocal fits some people. The crystal lens fits other people. With a very healthy macula, it sounds like you might be on board for either one of those things. As time goes by, we figure it out.
No, Alan,
Joe, one second.
Yes. Alan, just because everybody out there needs to have some definition in all of this, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry, I just have to ask you, when you can't see far away, you are?
Nearsighted.
And when you can't see close by?
You're presbyopic if you just got 40 years of age, or when you can't see nearby, you might be farsighted as well.
Yeah, and when you have astigmatism, you are?
Your vision can be blurry. You could be nearsighted astigmatism and see up close, but the astigmatism just causes a blur. Your cornea is not basketball shape. It's more football shape, and that creates a distortion.
Oh.
So it doesn't really fall into the farsighted, nearsighted category.
Uh-huh.
But if it did, it would be a little bit more toward the nearsighted category sometimes.
Okay. Joe, go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
Corrected in the cornea, operation?
Right. Some of us do astigmatism surgery on the cornea itself, which allows us to use a greater array of lenses. Some of the lenses come with astigmatism built in. Crystal lens, for example, has the astigmatism built in for certain people. The multifocals do not have that yet.
The correction for astigmatism built in, you mean?
Yes, there's correction for the astigmatism built into the crystal lens.
Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to David in Glenmont. Okay, David, you're on.
Hello. I'm 58 years old, and about 15 years ago, I came down with what's been called a case of central serous retinopathy. And on my left eye, the vision is different every single day at the primary focus. For instance, if I just use my left eye to look at a grid of tiles in the shower, they're wavy. And if I just use my left eye to look through the rearview mirror in the car, the warning changes to say the make and model of the cars may be different than the reality.
Do you do that often, David, looking through only one eye?
No, it's gone lazy, thank goodness. I'm an architect, so that also helps. Well, it was scary in the beginning, though. It's gone lazy, so the right eye has taken over, so things are straight, unless I play a trick on myself and just look with the left eye.
Well,
then it's wavy.
The good news, David, is that you do have two eyes, and the other one is doing the job and becoming, if it wasn't already, the dominant eye. In terms of treatment for central serous, it's a very difficult situation because it typically is a leak in one of the layers of the eye where fluid can get in there. It causes swelling, and that can cause some ultimate distortion. It can be recurrent. So
It had happened a couple of times earlier in the peripheral vision, but this time it hit the focus.
Yeah.
I have had tests with a dye to look for leakage with a close-up camera. Nothing was leaking. They told me 15 years ago there was nothing to be done, and mostly I'm calling today to see if there's anything new out there.
Yeah, to my knowledge, not doing retina work, I don't think there's anything new, but I do know that sometimes if they can find a leaky focus, they can cauterize it with very gentle laser application. But I would have to defer to my retina colleagues for what might be out there newer than that.
I was told that a laser at the focus is unethical because it will create a permanent little blind spot there.
Well, that's why I said gentle. It all depends.
Yeah.
Anything is, you look at the risk, you look at the benefit, and sometimes the leak itself can be somewhat peripheral to the actual what we call the fovea, the center of the macula. And if you're lucky, the leak is off to the side. A gentle little thing there will prevent more fluid from coming out. And you might have a tiny defect off to the side, but it might actually preserve a functional eye rather than having it go to where yours has been or may continue to go.
And while we're on the subject, doctor, floaters, are those leaks also of some kind?
Floaters basically are shadows cast by opacities in the vitreous, which is the liquid egg white inside your eye.
What does opacity mean?
Opacity is a little thickness, a little bit of a string, if you will.
I see.
And that casts a shadow. So our eyes, if you think of liquid egg white coming out of an egg, it's not perfectly clear. There's little strands in there you might see. And even though it's 99% water, these strands can cast a shadow.
Okay. Give your telephone number again, because, I don't want to be rude to people, but there's a huge line behind. Go ahead. What is
it? Okay. Area code 518-274-3123 is our main number in the Troy office, but we have offices in Skodak, Albany, Schenectady, and Clifton Park as well.
David, thanks for the call. Okay, let's go to Harriet in Fleischmann's. Harriet in Fleischmann's, you're on.
Thank you. This is a wonderful show. My question is regarding LASIK. I had LASIK about 18 years ago, very successfully. I was able to read without glasses. Now that I'm getting older, of course, I need reading glasses. I have macular pucker in one eye.
Wait a second. What's the second word? Macular what?
Pucker.
Pucker. Pucker up?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yep.
And just as the prior call, the gentleman said that it's wavy in one eye, and that's what I have in one eye. The other eye is taking over. Would I still be a candidate for LASIK surgery again so I don't need glasses?
LASIK surgery doesn't fix macular pucker, okay? LASIK surgery will fix a refractive situation, somebody who's farsighted or nearsighted or astigmatism. That just basically changes the shape of your cornea as if you were putting a contact lens on the eye, but it's done with laser. The macular pucker is all the way at the back of the eye, in the retina where all the light rays come to focus at the macula. Just like the previous caller that had some distortion there from previous leakage, you have some distortion there because that liquid vitreous we talked about has separated from the back of the eye, and in so doing, it left tiny cells behind, and these scrunch up and cause a wrinkling of your focusing area called the macula. So it puckers up. Think of putting cellophane on a piece of paper on a table, and then you scrunch it with your fingers as you curl it up a little bit. Another name for this is cellophane maculopathy, or pathology of the macula, as if it was wrinkled cellophane. LASIK would not help that.
But I didn't think that it would, but I just meant in terms of seeing well without needing glasses.
Well, if you have a refractive situation, typically that can happen. But a lot of times what you might be experiencing might be the development of cataracts causing your new change in focus. Okay, and I would recommend you get a thorough exam, and then if you have cataracts, focus on getting the cataracts fixed rather than more LASIK, because that wouldn't be treating. Pardon?
I don't think I have cataracts. That's not my problem.
How old are you?
69.
You got cataracts, Harriet.
Really?
Oh, I'm telling you. Okay. Welcome to the club.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.
You got it, dear.
Thanks a lot. While we're on the subject, that's interesting. because, you know, LASIK was the new boy on the block for a while. Cataract surgery got better and better. There are people who got LASIK, but then who get cataracts on top of it, much like the last caller, we think, is a possibility. So has LASIK been sort of replaced in any way, or is it still what it once was?
LASIK is still good for what it was. It basically replaces contact lenses and glasses for people who don't want to wear those. Okay. When the cause is cataract, people typically 55, 65 and up, then you might better off have the cataract taken care of, because that would not only fix the cataract from getting worse, but it also affords the opportunity for these premium lenses, which do more than just LASIK. LASIK only gives us good distance vision. LASIK doesn't give you the ability to read, after you've had LASIK surgery.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Every phone. No, we have actually two free phones. This is a good time. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go.
Support comes from the Urological Institute Urologic Oncology Services, evidence-based comprehensive care for all stages of prostate cancer, featuring UroNav MRI-guided diagnostics to help detect prostate cancer, urologyoncology.com. Southern Vermont Art and Craft Festival in Bennington, Vermont, July 31st through August 2nd, juried art and crafts with music, food, kids activities, craftproducers.com. Lori Stowell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, stillwellcpa.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting the Bang on a Can Marathon, featuring the music of Philip Glass, Julia Wolf, and Meredith Monk on August 1st, massmocha.org. And from the Conway School in Conway and East Hampton, Massachusetts, presenting Designing for Future Climates, Resilient Facilities, Communities, and Economies, a workshop for planners, designers, and decision makers, August 10th and 11th, csld.edu.
We're back with the brilliant Dr. Alan Zeker, and we have a very fast one coming in over the internet. Good afternoon. Members of my family suffer periodically from an eye problem called chalazion. And can you please explain what causes this problem and what do we do from prevent them from developing? And we have to go fast on this one, Doc, because we have a full board of phone calls.
Well, the causes of chalazion are still somewhat undetermined. It's more like an inflammatory reaction. It's not specifically caused by a germ of any one particular kind. It causes a little abscess formation in the lid. And if you jump on it quickly with hot packs four times a day, 20 minutes at a pop, not too hot to burn yourself, but enough to help bring it to a head and have it open up, keep the hot packs going. Or sometimes it'll just decrease the size of the lesion itself as you bring more blood to the area by causing the warm packs to increase your blood flow.
Well, as usual, you're right on the money. I appreciate your brevity and your insight. Thank you for that, Alan. So let's go now to Eric in Sunderland. Eric in Sunderland, you're on.
Hello, this is Eric here. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you.
I had cataract surgery 20-something years ago. In that period since then, I had a subluxation on the right lens. This was caused by steroids being, against my will, injected into me in a hospital to make a bone graft grow. And now my left eye has started, I guess it's a subluxation, but the lens drops out. My whole iris turns silver, and I can't see doodly. Well, not my whole iris, the bottom half. And it looks pretty freaky. It made me go to the hospital on Christmas Eve and spend the night there. And it pops in and out, like, with alarming regularity now. Every time I turn my head fast or hit something, and then it takes a day or so to get back in place. And my question is, how long can this go on before some real damage is done? Because the VA really isn't interested in fixing it for me. They told me that I wasn't authorized to go to the eye doctor, sent me a bill.
Okay, Eric, you have a very complicated problem going on. You mentioned steroid injections. I can't conceive of steroid injections giving you any type of a subluxated lens.
No, that's not the subluxation. That was what caused the cataracts in the first place.
Oh, that can happen. Absolutely. It can happen if you get a lot of steroids over a long period of time. So
yeah,
you had the cataract
that's what
surgery.
The doctor did to me.
Yeah, you had the cataract surgery, and the one lens is subluxated. Is the vision good in that eye?
Well, it used to be my good eye. The two eyes after the surgery, my left eye was always better than my right eye. I have no idea why. Mm-hmm. But the right eye had a subluxation that was repaired some 10 years ago. It broke loose, and a doctor in Boston had put a lens in where they actually had to stitch it into my eye instead of having haptics that would hold it into place. And there was like only one guy in New England that would do this, I guess, at the time. And now the other lens is doing it. Except now it's actually dramatically dropping in front of my iris. It makes my eye look like I'm kind of a werewolf or something.
Now, it does sound complicated, and there are a lot of other people waiting. So, Alan?
Honestly.
What I'm worried about is how much damage will this cause? Is the longer this waits? So, I mean, do I have to panic and then really go after people to make them fix it, or can it pop in and out and I'll be okay?
Yeah, I mean, if the VA is refusing to let you see the eye doctor, I would probably go to your representative.
I was going to say the same thing. Go to the congressman. Where do you live?
Exactly.
You're in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Well, yeah. Call your congressman and tell him.
If I can read his number.
That's funny.
But,
Okay, listen,
we have a very good congressman, but
yes,
okay,
you do.
Seriously, so I need to get it fixed, or is it okay to just let it roll?
Based on what you're saying, you absolutely need to get it examined and let the person decide what the damage might be.
Thank you, Eric.
Well,
okay, so what is the subluxation?
It's when the lens is dislocated from its normal attachments. Theoretically, there's 4,000 microscopic little hairs that hold the lens in place.
Yeah.
And when some of those are broken, either from trauma or during a very rough cataract surgery, then the lens can be subluxed.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. And let's go to Lola in Hurley. Lola, you're on.
Hi, this is Laura.
Laura, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. My brother has Stargardt's. It's a degenerative eye disease. And I've heard recently that there is a cure for that. And I wanted to know if you knew anything about that or could tell me anything.
I know exactly what you know. I've heard the same thing, but I have no specifics
on
that.
And what's the name of the disease?
Stargardt's disease.
Stargardt's. Gart.
Okay.
I take it Stargardt's was the guy who invented it.
Probably.
Found it.
It's basically a degenerative of portions of the retina so that the retina doesn't see very well. And I have heard something along the lines of they're working on something like that. But to be honest, I have no specifics on that. We have three retina people in the office, of which any one of them could probably tell you what the state of the art is on that right now.
Yeah. Okay. And again, give me your number one more time.
It's 518-274-3123.
Thank you very much. Is it Laura?
Thanks,
Laura.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to Carissa in Castleton. Carissa, you're on.
Hi. Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I had shingles this past spring. And the doctors had said that I had some corneal occlusions with that in my eye. At that point, it was sort of a come back and see us in a week, and it just kind of got to a point where I'd missed so much work and so much time and energy going back and forth to the doctor, I kind of had given up. But I never really quite followed up with the corneal occlusions. Is it likely that they would rectify themselves or they'd go away on their own, or is it something I should keep up with? And what kind of treatment would they do if they didn't go away on their own?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what a corneal occlusion is. I've never heard of a corneal occlusion. You can have vascular occlusion where the blood vessel. Blood vessel, but that's typically in the retina. So when you have shingles, it can give you some like blisters and scarring on the cornea. It can give you inflammation in the eye. And when you have shingles in your eye, which happily only happens about one-third of the time, it's very, very dangerous for permanent visual loss. So you really have to be on top of that.
Should you get the injection? Should you get the vaccination?
Vaccination theoretically is good to reduce the incidence of shingles. I'm not sure once you've already had it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm not too sure about the corneal situation, but the cornea is the window we see through. Shingles does affect that with scarring and inflammation. So I would encourage you to get some more follow-up on that.
Okay.
This is one of those programs that just scares me to heck. Okay. Thank you very much,
no problem.
Carissa.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay. And now we're going to Seema. Is it Seema in Albany?
Yes. Yes, hello. Speaking of scare you to death, I'm coming in Wednesday to the Albany Eye Center for cataract surgery. And just a quick question about the anesthesia. They told me they're going to come and give me something to relax me, and then they're going to come at my face with a needle. And I want to know how conscious will I be, because they told me I could also ask for general, which I'm not crazy about, but, like, do people freak out when you come at them with a needle at that point?
Not usually, but one of the options we do not have at the surgery center is general anesthesia. We don't do general anesthesia there, so you'd have to go to a hospital for that. Most of us use, I say most, there's topical, and then there's what I use, which is a block to anesthetize the eye. And you can just tell the anesthesia person that you want to be pretty sleepy when they actually come towards you with that, and they'll be happy to honor that request.
Well, he did it for me, and I got to tell you, I don't remember any of it. Thank you very much.
That's good to hear.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay. One more quick question.
Yeah, sure.
I have a sty on my left eye that's mostly going away now, but the surgery is Wednesday. Could that interfere with it at all?
It absolutely could. If you have a sty on one eye, I would probably cancel your surgery. So
you have
time to have your doctor check it first
and
see how it looks and let them decide if it's going to interfere or not. You don't want to show up and then get canceled.
Right, I don't.
So be seen first.
Thanks, Seema.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll go to Harriet in Woodstock. Harriet, you're on.
Hello, hi.
Yep.
A previous caller mentioned this condition,
puckering,
which I call retinal pucker, which is what you described as the cellophane backing that gets crinkled.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot see in my right eye. It's very strange. It started in my left eye, and rather shockingly and suddenly. And my right eye was fine. It almost cleared out in my left eye and went over to my right eye. And my right eye, for a few years now, is really, I cannot see any vertical straight lines. It's just not possible. And my left eye is doing a great job of taking over. And I'm an artist. I mean, my eyes are like everything to me, and as to most people. So my question is about the retinal pucker on my right eye. No lens can help that vision, which is quite blurry. Are there any new things on the horizon for actually correcting that problem? I'm very nearsighted, by the way. I've worn glasses since I was 7. I've got like 9 diopters, very, very nearsighted.
Okay, let's get the answer. Go ahead.
All right, first of all, the puckering does not travel from one eye to the other. Each eye, when you're nearsighted as you are, the eye is longer than the average eye. Therefore, the vitreous liquid egg white is more likely to separate from the back of the eye. And when it separates, you're, once again, more likely to have the puckering as an option. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. So the puckering is unrelated to the one eye having it and the other eye changing. When you have macular pucker, it can be of a degree, and it sounds like you might be there, where the risk-benefit ratio recommends that you actually have surgery to have that membrane peeled off. Think of a piece of scotch tape on your macula, and if you put a hairdryer on it, it might scrunch up a little bit. You peel off that scotch tape, your macula returns to a more normal configuration. It may not be 100% normal, but a lot of macular puckering can be resolved compared to what we had available 5-10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now it might involve some cataract surgery as well. A lot of times after surgery for the retina macular diseases, a lot of times cataracts will grow rapidly afterwards.
Uh-huh, that's strange.
But once you have cataracts and you have them removed, can you ever get them again?
Cataracts never come back. The skin of the cataract will get hazy, probably, in my experience, for me, 19% of the time. Nationally, it's 35%.
And then what
do? You do a 5-minute laser, open up a little window.
Yeah,
okay.
I think I had
success
that.
Rate is like 99.9.
Yeah, that's great.
So, okay.
So the eye surgery for the macular pucker is done quickly.
It's not done quickly. It's done very carefully. Okay,
carefully.
Because we're dealing with the retina, which is actually brain tissue, which is in the back of your eye, forming the film in your eye. And your eye camera, because the brain sends out 2 little optic nerves, and then when that joins with the front part of the face before we're born, that actually makes the eyeball. So the retina is brain tissue, as is the optic nerve, which is why we can do some things, but not as much as we can with the front part of the eye, which is corneal transplants and cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. That comes from the face. That's skin as opposed to brain tissue.
Put another way, do you want quick or do you want good?
Yeah. Good. Yeah, you don't want anybody to rush that.
Thanks, Harriet.
One quick thing. Can this condition, it's at a point where it really hasn't changed that much. Does it, if it's reached a certain point, could it tend to get worse?
Anything can progress. Okay. Typically, what you've had, if you've had a progression, it seems to be stabilized. It would seem as though it's maybe leveled off, but, you know, things can change as time goes by. It's biology.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, doctor.
Thanks. You're
welcome. So we only have seconds left. So let's go to Jason in Woodstock. We're keeping fast now. Jason, you're on.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I run a high risk for macular degeneration, the dry kind, the bad kind. Not that there's a good kind, but both my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather have it, and I took a DNA test, and it shows that I'm very likely to have it. I don't have any signs of it now. I'm 43. I quit smoking years ago, but still Nicorette gum. Is the Nicorette in the Nicorette gum, does that accelerate my chances of developing it?
I'm not too sure, Jason, about the nicotine by itself. Definitely smoking. So you did the right thing by stopping. So
yes.
Smoking has so many other things that contribute to negative health risks. The nicotine itself, specifically for macular degeneration, I would go to a retina person on that.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Oh. Okay. Let's go to Doug in South Egremont. Doug, you're on.
Yes. Thank you for taking me. Real quick, I'm 72. I heard you say that if you're over 56, you've got cataracts. However, my ophthalmologist says I've got the eyes of a young man. My quick question is, my problem is having my eyes adjust to light changes from light to dark, dark to light. Is there anything that I can do to improve that?
Is that brand new or has it been going on most of your life?
No, it's relative to the age. It's been happening over the last year or two.
Okay. I mean, sometimes that can be caused by cataracts. I'm not saying that everybody that is 56 or 57 has cataracts that are significant. Usually cataracts begin in the mid late 50s, and they can take 15, 20 years to develop. Okay. So when the caller before said she was 69, I know she's got some cataracts there to some degree. If there's cataract formation, the pupil size will amount to an adjustable degree of what you're actually able to see. As your pupil increases and decreases, as you go from light to dark, that allows more or less light to come in. If you're outside and it's bright sunny, you go in dark, well, your eye is light adapted outside, and it has to take a while to become dark adapted. Okay?
So I understand that. It just seems to be taking a lot longer now.
Well, you're a lot slower at some things than you were before, too. It's a circulation thing.
It's one of our problems. Thank you, Doug.
You got
Thank
it,
you. Doug. Okay, and now we'll go to Mike in Ellenville. Mike in Ellenville, you're on.
Yeah, hi, how are you? My name is Mike. Quick question. I'm 42 years old. I am nearsighted. My doctor has recommended that I lower my prescription in my non-dominant eye, which is my left eye, to prevent recent, soon coming on, the idea of not being able to read up close.
Okay. When you're wearing your distance glasses, do you have trouble reading now?
No.
Okay.
I mean, very close I do. I mean, if it's, but I've always had that.
But newspaper, you can read. Close. You can read a newspaper, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what the number of your prescription is by any chance?
In my contact lenses, I wear -7 on my right eye, -7.5 on my left eye.
Okay.
But in glasses, it's a little higher, like 1 point higher.
Okay. At 42, typically, your prescription at -7, -7.5 is going to be able to read without glasses for a long time without changing your prescription. Okay. When the time comes and you find your arm is getting too short, you're holding things out there, okay, then you might decide you might want to say something about, you know, just get bifocals, you know, progressive lenses. They do a good job. I kind of like both eyes working together. Certainly you could decrease the strength in one eye, but that means you're walking around with one eye for distance and one eye not so good for distance. But I like both eyes for distance, driving a car, most dangerous thing you probably do. Okay.
No, so I've been under the impression that he meant to prevent it getting worse.
Oh, that's not going to change a damn thing. Okay.
It's not going to change it?
No. Changing the prescription in your glasses will not change your cataract. I'm sorry, will not change the ability of the eye to become less presbyopic, which is difficulty reading. Okay. That's not going to change it. It'll postpone your symptoms.
I do it before I start.
Right. Well, what it will do is, as you get used to that, then when you grow into that, when you would ordinarily be getting the symptoms, you won't have it because for all those years, that one lens will not have been seeing as far away as the other one. It's just, he's just keeping you more nearsighted in one eye. It's a style thing. I wouldn't do it.
Mike in Ellenville, thank you so much for your call.
Thank
we are
so
out
much.
Of time here. Okay, we don't have time for Trish in Albany, but I did want to say that she had surgery. It's a little note here. It says with Dr. Z, and she said she had a very good experience.
Thank you, Trish.
Congratulations. Me too. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but I want to thank everyone who called in. Boy, that was an exciting show. A lot of people called in, and we apologize to Trish, of course. I'd also like to thank Dr. Alan Zeeker for joining us today. I hope that you'll consider spelling your name the right way, Alan. Thanks again.
I'll take it under advisement.
Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a tiny bit of music and then an update.